So, Amir, tell us a little bit about your trip over to Lesbos to help out the Syrian refugees.
Yeah, we went with the team went out last week. I got there on Friday, and the team were driving a certain convoy out with about 10. It must have been about none, sorry, nine vans full went, and they had aid in. They had sleeping bags, clothing, food, water. They had everything basically, nappies for kids and stuff. And they got there on time. It was quite. It was a bit of an obstacle to get there, you know, because it wasn't easy for them to get there. A lot of obstacles in front of them. There was they were getting sent back from borders to go to a different route, go for via a different route, and they were getting stopped again. And the police stopped them so many times, saying, "What have you got in the bag?" They were getting checked. But then they did make it on time. They made it there, and I met them, and that's when we started to distribute all the food and all the aid out. But I went to a place called Lesvos, and the reason I went there and I got a team together, mind you, the team I got together was in 3 days, luckily, and I just want to say thank you to all the people, the volunteers who drove there. I want to thank all the people who come to the gym and give aid, give clothing, food, and everything. I want to thank all my friends out in Manchester, Polish and Glow, who helped me pack all the boxes to give the families. So I want to thank everyone for doing that. But it was an eye opener when I went there. It was it was a different experience, an experience that I've never really seen, because the people I met were not like they were, poor people. These people were like middle class or rich people who were from Syria, but they had to leave the country because of the war and what's been going on there. And when I was going out giving food and water to them, a lot of them said no thank you, because they already had a bottle of water, or they had a sandwich or some food or some fruit. And if that was anywhere else, like, they'd still take it, but one thing, these people were very disciplined, and they were very good like that, because it made me realize that, look, they probably have food and they want somebody else to have the food. But I went to a couple of the camps as well. Saw the way these people were living. They were living in tents, and I spoke to a couple of the family members, and I said, "How do you find it here?" They said, "Look, it's good because we out of our country where the war was happening, but we left our mansion, we left our cars, we left everything basically, just to come here and live in a tent and give our kids." A little bit of freedom, and give our kids, make sure our kids are safe. So when people say that to you, it does touch you, because you think these people have left everything. And talking about leaving things, I lost my bag when I arrived in Greece. I didn't get my bag. They must have lost it in the airport, and I swear I felt lost without that bag. I was like, I kept ringing the airport saying, "Is my bag come yet? Is my bag come yet?" I was in the same clothes for like a day and a half, nearly 2 days. I was in the same clothes, and I didn't feel right, man. I was like, I've lost my clothes. I've left. I've got no toiletry. I had to go buy a toothbrush from outside, and it was very. I mean, my head was gone. It was like, oh, where's my stuff? Where's my stuff? Whereas these people have lost everything basically, and they've come with nothing. And it makes you think that, look, I only lost a bag, and maybe it was a test that God did. God maybe put me through that test. That, look, you lost your bag, and look how you feel. Imagine how these people feel.
Must have been incredibly emotional meeting those families who, as you mentioned, have had quite a lot in their own country and have lost practically everything.
Yeah, they, like I said, they had a lot and they lost everything. And it was, I mean, they were happy to see me, because obviously they said, and they knew me as a fighter, as a boxer, and a lot of them were fans as well. And we got speaking, and they were happy that I came and I saw them, and it put a smile on their face. Because there's not many things now that are going to put a smile on their face, especially with all the stuff that they've got going on. But I met a lot of young kids there, and I remember speaking, play football. I was playing football with some kids first, and then I saw some little girls just watching, and I went over and said hi to them, and they said, "Uncle, are you taking us back to Syria?" And that's what they said to me. "Are you taking us back home? Our home's there. I left all my toys there and everything." And I was like, "Wow, check this out." It's quite. That touched me really, because I have a little girl myself, and I know one thing about her: she can never live without her toys and her, they're just her, the area where she lives, like her environment, a little toy house at home and stuff. And imagine what these people have left at home. They've got basically nothing. I mean, all they were playing, like, they were kicking stones and throwing stones. That's all they were doing. And you think, yeah, that makes you feel sad. And when they said to me that, look, Uncle, are you taking us home? I was like, I'm going to try my very best to, you know, help, and let me see what I can do.
How difficult was that, leaving these people after you've connected with them and you spoke to them and seeing what they're going through, and they're calling you uncle and treating you so well? How difficult was it to then leave them and come back home?
It was very difficult, you know, obviously, because I really wanted to help them, you know, in some kind of way to give them a better life. But I can only do so much. I'm only one team man. You know, I have the Amir Khan Foundation, and to be honest with you, the Amir Khan Foundation has grown so fast within the year. And it's very hard for me, just with me and my small little team, to do. And I want to thank also Penny Appeal for being so helpful, for, you know, being supportive with the Amir Khan Foundation. And, you know, it was sad when I left, because I thought, what else can I do for these people? Now I've been here, I've seen everything. So what I've decided to do now is, because a lot of people were still giving aid to where I am in the gym, and they're still giving a lot of aid and everything. So I decided to maybe save that, put it into units, and I might send another truck in the next couple of weeks. Because these people, there's thousands of people leaving Syria and going into these camps. They need food, they need aid, and that's the only way they're going to survive. So, and they're so respectful, like, they have that pride about them that they're not going to go begging people for it. But you just don't know that it might go to a point that these people are just going to have to, because there's going to be no food for them. So before it gets that bad, you know, I'm going to send another team out there within the next 3-4 weeks. I can't go there myself because I'm going to be back in training. But we're going to take another team out there. And people can still donate now on pennyappeal.org. You know, if you go to the website, they can still donate. But or they can come to, like I said, come to the gym, or come go to Polish and Glory Manchester and just drop off whatever they want to send there, because everything is going there. And a lot of people, when people come to me in Bolton, to my gym, to say, look, how can we donate? They were taking out money at the pocket and saying, look, there's 100 quid. And I said, no, money is not going to really do anything, because I can't go and give them money. They're not allowed to go into shops, or they're not allowed to buy anything. So I can't really do anything with money. I'd rather take material, like, you know, sleeping bags, clothing, food instead. So those people went back and got food and give me that instead.
So when is it that you're going to send another team out? And do you have any idea of how much sort of aid you're going to be able to take over there?
I think this time, because I've been there and I can speak about it a little bit more, I think I could take a lot more aid. And I think I'm looking at taking a big Arctic truck there. And aid, I don't think, will be a problem, because I'm getting phone calls like crazy. People saying, look, how can we help? Can we please do our little bit? So, and this is not only like, this is not only people from Syria or like Muslim community, or this is like a lot of the British people. And I have to say that the British people have been so good, like the people who live in England, because they've all been very helpful. And without them, I wouldn't be going back again. And without them, I wouldn't be going in the first place, because they kind of motivated me to go out there by giving me all the food, clothing, sleeping bags, kids' nappies and stuff like that. So I want to thank the British people, because I think they've done a great job, and I think they take a lot of credit for that.
Do you have any idea what sort of timescale we're looking at before you can send another team out there?
Hopefully 3 weeks' time, 4 weeks' time. Within a month, I want to send another team out there, because, like I said, every day there's thousands of people coming into camps. So I want to be there within a month.
And obviously you can't, because you've got training, but further down the line, is it something you'd like to do again, to travel over there and to see how the refugees that you've already met and other refugees are getting on?
Yeah, definitely. I'd like to go see them again. Obviously, I love doing charity work. I mean, it keeps my feet on the ground, and it makes me realise that, you know, what life's about, and how grateful we should be. So yeah, I'm going to definitely go back there if I can get out there maybe in the next couple of weeks. But like with training, I have to work around training now.
How important do you think it is, Amir, that this doesn't fall out of the public eye, if you will, because it's had a lot of publicity. The images that we saw were very moving. A lot of people have been getting involved. How important do you think it is that people carry on getting involved and carry on helping out like yourself, and don't sort of forget about the plight of these refugees?
I think it's very important that people get involved, because there's, like I said, there's thousands of people coming in. There's refugees who need our help, and you know, they basically have nothing, no clothing or anything. And they can't even go out to shops and buy things, because the shopkeepers have been told in Greece not to. I mean, if they get caught on the streets of Greece, they're going to get arrested. They're going to be sent back to Syria. So these people are not even risking to go to shops or buy anything. So what they need is aid. They need just food, clothing, and people can help by, you know, either going onto a pennyappeal.org website or maybe coming to the gym in Bolton at my community centre here, or maybe Polish and Glow in Manchester and just dropping off stock.
And finally, you had some experience out there. You lost your luggage. You said your team faced a lot of obstacles. Does that help you to relate in a small way of what these guys are going through?
Yeah, I experienced a little thing like that, and I was only there for 2 days. Knowing that in 3 days' time, I'll be back in Bolton in my house with all my clothing there and everything. But these people have basically lost everything, and they don't know when they're going to go back home. They don't know when they're going to, if they're ever going to see their home again, all their stuff, you know, that they've left behind. So I do really feel for them because I felt lost without my stuff. So I don't know, I imagine how these people are feeling.